Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most vital segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which govern and control our nation, and recognize that considerable malfeasance exists in the media, the military, and also with those influencing our economy. We realize that these institutions are the problem. They are not the solution. So instead of trying to rearrange the color of the deck chairs on our sinking Titanic or state, our mission on this program is to scour the news, looking behind the headlines, so that we come to know who is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet and understand why they are doing so, all while predicting how their ill-advised and inappropriate plans, counterproductive schemes, will influence our world. Then in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the only glimmer of hope in our increasingly troubled world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. About 2 weeks ago, I read a series of headlines. First, those leading up to the meeting of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, their anticipated meetings in Sweden. Those meetings were rife with questions as to how they would handle the current period of not only hiatus in global warming over the past 15 years, but actually over the last 2 years of global cooling. And then I read with interest the outgrowth of those meetings as they published their report, which simply swept the current data aside and focused entirely on their claim that they were more certain than ever that man had caused the current trend in global warming. Now, despite the fact, of course, that there is no global warming currently, although we are in a global warming trend. So with that information, I decided to look behind the headlines. And we have now devoted 3.5 programs to this specific topic, to whether or not man-made global warming is true. And what I decided to do is that rather than focus simply on the reality that the current trend over the past 15 years has been of modest global cooling, at best you could say prior to the last 2 years it was a complete hiatus, a time of no temperature change at all. And then with the last 2 years, it has been a period overall of global cooling. That I found interesting because, of course, the reality is that all of these climate control gurus had claimed that if they went for 15 years without a significant rise in temperature, it would mean that their models were flawed. Their models are all computer-driven projections. They aren't based upon fact. And it would mean that their theories were wrong. Well, of course, now they've encountered that, and they're just denying it and said, it's just an aberration. Has no meaning whatsoever. But rather than focusing our attention on that, which I've always found interesting, I decided instead to take a bigger view. And I had seen a number of programs produced, documentaries produced, on the Little Ice Age. And I thought perhaps if I had studied the Little Ice Age and considered the timing of it, it would indicate that we're simply coming out of an abnormally cool period, which means the Earth has to warm to get back to normalized temperatures. But that's not where the evidence led. And just as when we study Yahweh's testimony in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and we go where His words lead, in this case, I made the decision, as I commonly do, not to fight the evidence. I was going to go where the facts led. And what we found is that the facts led to a direction that was not well known, that something that I was unaware of. But what this evidence demonstrates conclusively that man is absolutely, unequivocally, undeniably not responsible for the current global warming period, even if one exists. And what we learned, and we will restate this as we review the material again this morning, that there was a global cold period where ice packs and glaciers grew, and the temperatures of the Earth for the entire Earth were abnormally cold from 975 to 250 BCE. While it does not have a specific name at this point by the scientific community, since it coincides with the rise and fall of the Greeks, I'm calling it the Greek cool period. Lasted about 725 years. There was then a warm period that began immediately thereafter, from 250 BCE, before the Common Era, to 450 of this Common Era. It is called by scientists the Roman Warm Period because it coincides with the rise of first the Republic of Rome and then ultimately the demise of Imperial Rome. It lasted approximately 700 years. So now we have a complete cycle. This is a 1,400-year cycle in this particular case of a cold period followed by a warm period, both approximately 700 years in duration. But it repeats itself. There was another cold period which followed the warm period. It is labeled by scientists the Dark Ages cool period. It began approximately 400 CE and lasted to approximately 950 CE, or 500 years. This was then followed in the cycle by a warm period, where the entire Earth grew 8 degrees warmer than it had been at the absolute trough of the cool period. The warm period is called by scientists the medieval warm period. It lasted from 950 to 1250 CE, some say, to 1350 CE. It was therefore 300 to 400 years in duration. As you might expect, based upon everything that we have discovered, there was a cold period. This is the one that we know the most about, although the evidence is no less compelling for any of the others. This cold period began between 1250 and 1350 CE and concluded somewhere between 1850 and 1925 of the current era. In other words, about anywhere from about 150 years ago at the far extreme to less than 100 years ago, depending on the date that you choose for its conclusion. It therefore lasted between 500 and 600 years. It is known as the Little Ice Age. It is extraordinarily well documented, both in historical texts and also in scientific research. Now, this would mean, if you know that there was a cold period, called the Greek cool period, followed by the Roman warm period, followed by the Dark Ages cold period, followed by the medieval warm period, followed by the Little Ice Age as a cold period, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that at that point, we are now dealing with the beginning of a warm period, and that sometime between 1815 and 1925, the Earth's temperatures would have begun to recover from the troughs of the cold period of the Little Ice Age and would warm 8 degrees above the minimum temperatures or 4 degrees above mean temperatures over the next 500 to 700 years. That is what we learned. That means that what we're enduring now is in fact part of a long-term cycle that has absolutely nothing to do with humankind's activities or the burning of fossil fuels. Which means that all of the legislation, all of the constraints on human behavior, all of the constraints on economies and restraints on your actions directly associated with the myth of man-made global warming are a lie, a myth, which is specifically designed to confiscate your wealth and to constrain your behavior. Now, as we learned, the CRU, which is one of four organizations feeding the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, this is the Climate Research Unit, in contravention of all acceptable behavior in the international scientific community, has deliberately withheld data from researchers, especially those deemed to be in conflict with its cause. It has become a religious crusade for them. This means that because the CRU, established by the Met Office, is a government-funded body, it's supposed to be a model of resuscitude. Yeah, however, it is exactly the opposite. It is one of the few sources of global temperature data used by the IPCC, and they are disingenuous at their core. As I mentioned several days ago, in November of 2009, hackers gained access to a server used by the Climate Research Unit and published a large quantity of data, anonymously posting online more than 1,000 emails and more than 2,000 other documents. A number of the leaked emails contained evidence that its staff conspired to manipulate data and to keep scientists who have contrary views out of peer review literature. The controversy is known as ClimateGate. All of these accusations, of course, were denied by the CRU spokespersons, stating that the emails had been taken out of context and merely reflect an honest exchange of ideas. Now, of course, any time that somebody says, yeah, those really were our emails, they were just taken out of context, you know that they are guilty of the crime that they have been accused. And we read many of those emails. They were the furthest thing from an honest exchange of ideas. They were written to preclude an honest and open exchange of ideas. And the emails were actually put into context so that we could understand the agenda of the CRU. Now, this should have been the final nail in the coffin of anthropogenic global warming, but that was wishful thinking. In the run-up to Copenhagen, we've seen more and more hysterical and grotesquely exaggerated stories that have been promoted in the mainstream media, all leading people to believe that man is killing the planet. We'll be back in a moment. The facts, as we have learned them, is that the world is currently cooling, but overall, we are at the beginning of a global period of warming that humankind has not and cannot influence. We did not create it. We cannot stop it. And should not attempt to stop it. It is, in fact, in life's interest that it develops. And yet, based upon the lie of man-induced global warming, eco-policies are being levied around the globe, leading to more oppressive regulation. More regulation means more control over individuals' lives and less freedom. To higher taxation, which is just the confiscation of the earnings of those who have been productive, and higher utility bills, as well as unnecessary restrictions and economic constraints. Once again, the cold period during the rise and fall of Greece was followed by a warm period during the rise and fall of Rome, which was followed by a cold period during the Dark Ages, a warm period during the medieval times, a cold period during the Little Ice Age from 1250 to 1900, and that means that we have entered a warm period at the present, and will continue in that warm period for the next 500 years. Leading scientists, and this is the Reuters article about the conclusion of the conference in Sweden, and they call them leading scientists. These are now propagandists. They're religious zealots. They're more politically inspired and inspired by the economy of their own pocketbook. Said at the conclusion of their conference that they were more certain than ever before that humans are the main culprits for climate change and predicted the impact from greenhouse gas emissions could linger for centuries. The second part of that is true. greenhouse gas emissions is not the reason, but that a warming trend is going to linger for centuries, five more centuries to be exact. But they know for certain that their claims are wrong. They know for certain that their claims are wrong. It's yet it empowers them to make them because they're sponsored by governments and politicians who wish to take from those who have been productive and give to those who are not, and to constrain world economies so that they end up in complete control. It is one of the most devious and devastating myths ever perpetrated by humankind. The International Governmental Panel on Climate Change said in its report that the current hiatus in warming, when temperatures have risen more slowly despite growing emissions, by the way, that's not true. Temperatures haven't risen, they have fallen, was a natural variation that would not last. It said that the Earth was set for more heat waves, floods, droughts, and rising sea levels. Yes, the Earth is set for more heat waves, floods, droughts, and rising sea levels. There will always be floods. There will always be droughts. There will always be heat waves. There will always be cooling periods as well. They just left that one out because it sounded incongruous with their model. And the sea levels will rise because previously during the Little Ice Age they fell. It has nothing to do, however, with the greenhouse gases being built up in the atmosphere. Not only does man contribute an inconsequential amount of CO2, inconsequential, but the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is inconsequential compared to that in the soils and rocks of our planet as well as its seas. Many world leaders, of course, called for stronger action to rein in rising greenhouse gas emissions and limit a rise in temperatures to within manageable limits after the report, which estimated that humanity has burnt more than half of the available carbon. We have not burnt half of the available carbon, not even close to that number. And there is no correlation between burning carbon and the rise in temperatures. Man had nothing to do with it. And yet politicians, to amalgamate their power, to control and fleece more people, want to perpetrate this myth of global warming because it gives them a means to control, just as does the mythical war against drugs and terrorism. Both give governments the ability to spy on its citizens, to constrict their activities, to tax them, which is to fleece them, and to constrain their economies, making people ever more dependent upon their government schemes. Many world leaders called for stronger actions immediately thereafter. And yet the study, which was meant to guide governments in shifting towards greener energies, said that it was extremely likely, a probability of at least 95%, that human activities were the dominant cause of warming since the mid-20th century. A complete and utter lie, and we know it. So do they. We'll return to Shattering Mist after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. There isn't one scientist among those who participated in the report that do not know what I have shared with you, that there is absolute, unequivocal, ubiquitous research proving that for the past 12,000 years, the entire globe has gone through a 1,200-year cycle of warm to cool, warm to cool, and warm to cool again. And that as a result, the current warm period is unavoidable. It is part of the natural cycle of our planet. It isn't human influenced. The proof that they attempt to deploy, which is the diminishment of glaciers and the polar ice cap, has all been part of this cycle for 12,000 years. And specifically, during the last three cycles of cold to warm, There is overwhelming evidence that glaciers have advanced during the cooling periods, and they have retreated during the warming periods. The fact that there are now pictures which show mid to late 1800 photographs juxtaposed to current positions of glaciers only shows that sometime during the late 19th century, we ended a cold period with the glaciers at a maximum position, and they will retreat to a minimum position over the next 400 to 500 years. They know this. And yet they chose to lie, assigning a probability of 95% that human activities were the dominant cause of warming since the mid-20th century. They picked 1950 as their time. It was a cooler than normal period. And they want to conclude their time with 1998, which was warmer than average. It's just a tiny, tiny slice of time in Earth's climate history. Climatic history, I should say. The idea of a greener form of energy is also a myth when they say that that is what they're recommending, that the government shift towards greener energies. First of all, it's not governments that produce energy. It's companies that do. And that the forms of energy that are greener are find as much environmental consternation against as do the originals. There is no solar farm in the country that environmentalists are in favor of. It is almost impossible to build a solar farm today. And solar farm, by the way, don't work on photoelectric cells. They are way too inefficient. They work by collecting in parabolic mirrors the sun's radiant energy and then warming typically alcohol that is in tubes, which then drives a typical turbine. But they're opposed to the solar farms. They're opposed to the wind-generated turbines because they kill birds and they're unsightly. They're opposed to geothermal because they say that, well, we have evidence of 1-2 magnitude earthquake that it has caused. They're opposed to tidal energy production because of its influence on the oceans. And, of course, they're opposed to gas, oil, coal, nuclear, and hydro, with hydro probably being the cleanest and most efficient form of energy creation, and nuclear being the second most efficient and cleanest. But they're universally opposed to those as well. In spite of the evidence, the status of anthropogenic global warming has increased from very likely, or 90% in the last report, which was 2007, and likely at 67 or 66% in 2001, now to 95%. And yet, it's just factually untrue. And what's most amazing is the time that it increased from 90 to 95% certain, the temperatures went down. They didn't go up. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said that the study was a call for governments, many of which have been focused on spurring weak growth rather than climate change, to work to agree to a UN accord in 2015. So, if you are a government, you should not work on improving your economy and therefore the lives of your people. You should instead fall in line with a planned UN mandate to transfer wealth based upon carbon taxes that will be proposed in 2015, all to combat a myth, global warming. The heat is on, he said, and we must act now. Oh, it's so clever. The heat is on. No, it's not. The earth is cooling. In fact, that is really an interesting phenomenon. And while the 600-year warm and cool periods, 1,200-year cycle, isn't monolithic, there are times where the temperatures rise and fall during those periods. They're just a period of time where the glaciers build and the earth is an average of 4 degrees cooler during the cool periods and 4 degrees warmer during the warm periods, and glaciers retreat. The fact is that there are often periods where there are more extreme colds and warms, and so that would mean a falling off somewhat of temperatures during those periods. But the fact is that we ought not have gone through a 15-year cooling period, not during this warming trend. So if anything, if there's any influence of humankind in all of this, it is to cool the earth, not to warm it. Many sympathetic, this is now a statement I want to read from the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry. Now, what the Secretary of State is doing in this is quite an anomaly of itself, but U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the report was a wake-up call. Now, he didn't bother to consider the evidence that the Earth is currently cooling or that we are in an elongated warming period, one which has nothing to do with man. But he said the report was a wake-up call. For what? For us to be opposed to all scientific reports, for us to be opposed to all political pontifications, for us to be opposed to all constraints on our freedoms? Is it a wake-up call for that, John Kerry? No. He says it's a wake-up call. Those who deny the science or choose excuses over actions are playing with fire, he said, referring to the skeptics who question the need for urgent action. So those who deny the science. Now, we spent 3 to 4 days affirming the science that shows that these are massive trends that have nothing to do with humankind. But yet the deniers and skeptics, he wants to impugn. To which the sympathetic journalist says, speaking of the skeptics and deniers, they have become emboldened after temperatures rose more slowly over the past 15 years. You know, it's amazing how lies get perpetrated. The temperatures have not risen more slowly over the past 15 years. They have fallen. And yet they continually repeat that the critics of global warming have been emboldened after temperatures rose more slowly over the past 15 years. That isn't, well, I guess a decrease would be a rising more slowly, now, wouldn't it? Despite increasing greenhouse gas emissions, especially in emerging nations like China. So here their model has been turned asunder. You know, they say it's all based on greenhouse gas emissions. They have never been more prolific, and yet the temperatures have fallen. Oops. You know, that's the problem with so many people, particularly religious individuals. When the facts are presented, when evidence and reason is deployed to demonstrate that their faith and whatever it may be that you may be believing, like anthropogenic global warming, man-made global warming, whatever it may be that they believe in, when evidence and reason is used to prove conclusively that they are wrong, they're never willing to admit they're wrong. That's the problem with religions, whether it be environmentalism as a religion, or Christianity, or Islam, or communism as a religion. The proponents of religion never admit they're wrong. If you can't admit you're wrong, then you have no way whatsoever of ever being right. Now, European Climate Commissioner Connie Hedegaard said that it was time to treat the Earth's health. So, Mother Earth, we need to treat the Earth's health. Send the doctors to the rescue. Oh, yes. Connie, please fix the Earth's health. Bring out your thermometer and stick it in the Earth and have the Earth cough a couple of times for you. Her clever little line is, if your doctor was 95% sure that you had a serious disease, you would immediately start looking for the cure, she said. You know, the cure to this disease is to start distrusting everyone who is promoting man-made global warming. That's the cure for this disease. To distrust them and to vote them out of office. Compiled from the work of hundreds of scientists, the report faces extra scrutiny this year after its 2007 predecessor included an error that exaggerated the rate of melting of Himalayan glaciers. You know, they lie. That's what they do. The report said the trend of the past 15 years was skewed by the fact that 1998, at the start of the period, was an extremely warm year with an El Nino event in the Pacific that can disrupt worldwide weather patterns. You know, the warming and cooling El Nino effect is something that scientists have now discovered has been present for a grand total of 12,000 years, has nothing to do with human activity. It said the warming had slowed in roughly equal measure. No, it hadn't slowed. It's cooled because of random variations in the climate and the impact of factors such as volcanic eruptions, which dim sunlight, and a cyclical decline in the sun's output. We actually entered what should have been a warming period with the sun's cycle, and yet the Earth did not warm, and they know it. As for volcanic eruptions, while they can have a significant and do have a significant effect, since volcanic activity is not timed to these 600-year cycles or 1,200-year megacycles from warm to cool, then volcanic activity is not part of the overall trend from warm to cool and to warm again. Reporters predicted that the reduction in warming would not last, saying the temperatures from the 2016 to 2035 period were likely to be 0.3 to 0.7 degrees Celsius, a half a degree to a degree and a half warmer than in 1986 to 2005. And indeed they will be, but not for any of the reasons that they have claimed. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the break. There's a tremendous political and religious zeal that is wielded by environmentalists who propose the myth of man-made global warming. There's a story right out now out of Australia. The same thing occurred with Obama in the United States during the drought period that took place in Texas. Of course, he doesn't say anything now that that the south of America is being deluged and was had an extremely wet summer this past summer, or didn't say anything now that most of the nation is locked in a abnormal cold spell. But he certainly is among the first to jump in and say that any time there's any weather of any significance that is contrary or that fits the global warming myth, that it's to blame on man and that man must do something to resolve it. Here in Australia, a long, hot summer looms for Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott as devastating wildfires near Sydney fuel opposition to his plans to repeal a carbon emissions tax. You see, that's the whole thing about global warming. The purpose of it is to tax those who are productive and to send the money under the control of world elitists to those who are not productive. It's the same method that is used by politicians to make most Americans dependent upon government so that when they're dependent, they're easy to control. Well, he won office based upon his calling the whole myth of man-made global warming malarkey, absolute crap was his term. Australians elected him, but now that there are raging fires and the temperature is warm there in Australia, well, that must be the result of man-made global warming. It couldn't be part of these 1,200-year cycles of the Earth because, well, that would take too much work for people to actually study the facts. So this series of record-busting hot, dry conditions across the continent, which, by the way, they aren't record-busting hot or dry. They're hotter and drier than anything in the past 40 years. But 40 years ago in Australia, they had similar conditions. Australia happens to be the driest inhabited place on Earth. That's just the nature of the continent. It has been that way for as long as records show. So as the fire spread now, they are going against Abbott, saying that because he was opposed to climate change taxation, that he must go. Well, the $7.4 trillion cap and trade, the carbon trading bill, which is, would be the largest tax in American history, a tax which President Obama and administration are assiduously trying to impose on the U.S. economy, if it is passed, it will be the final nail in America's coffin. Those nails were created, of course, with 1913, and we conceived the progressive income tax under Woodrow Wilson along with the Federal Reserve. It was exacerbated by the Ponzi schemes of Social Security and Medicare, the entitlements which grew out of the Great Society under LBJ, the world's most aggressive military and the spending associated with our military, and the police state that has now been built as a result of the mythical wars on drugs and terrorism. This cap-and-trade bill will just simply be the final nail in a coffin that has been constructed painfully over the past 100 years. Ian Plimer, a professor of mining and geology, has recently published a landmark book called Heaven and Earth. Now, it would also cause thoughtful people to rethink climate change. His view is the same that I have shared with you during these past programs. The hypothesis that human activity can create global warming is extraordinary because it is contrary to validated knowledge from solar physics, astronomy, history, archaeology, and geology, says Plimer. So here's Plimer saying the same thing that we've said. Now, the difference is this is his conclusion. He proves it in his book, and we've spent 4 days going over the evidence to prove it. But that human activity creating global warming is extraordinary, and it's extraordinary in the sense of being unreal, because it is contrary to validated knowledge from solar physics, astronomy, history, archaeology, and geology, of course, which says that we have, for the past 12,000 years, endured 1,200-year cycles, 600 warm, followed by 600 cool. And while his research and conclusions are not new, you're unlikely to have heard of the evidence and reason expressed by him with such vigor and certitude, or by someone with such a wide-ranging scientific grasp. But yet, he has been willing to tell us the truth, but no one wants to publish his most recent book. Isn't that telling? We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break.